Declare your glory. The earth is full of your handiworks. We see them, for the invisible things that you have made are clearly seen, being understood by all that you have made, even your eternal power and Godhead. We honor you. We enter your word with a reverence that it so eminently deserves. We humble ourselves under your mighty hand, fully aware of the limitations of our minds, to deliver as well as to receive the infinite wisdom that has been compressed into this written word. So we need your help. We ask for it, for fresh unction and anointing, firstly upon my heart and my lips, indeed that I may speak as I should as an oracle of God, that the word will have free course, my Father, from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds more enlightened with revelation knowledge, and our emotions to be more controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray that as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in more than sufficient measure to follow these words wherever they are heard in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men, so that they will be doers of these things which they hear and not hearers only. We also pray for mercy to be faithful as I deliver the word, that I might do it with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say, bringing out the treasure of this word, things new and old, indeed as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all those in agreement with that prayer, receiving the blessing in their individual life, agreed and said, today I have a very important message. It's actually a follow-up of Pastor Dewey's message on Wednesday. I actually said quite a number of things that I'm going to repeat here on Wednesday, and I believe the Lord nudged me and said this, I should share it here on Sunday to the whole house. Pastor Ray preached a very lovely message for us on Wednesday, Joseph, the Answer of Peace. It's a prophetic message. Answer of peace to this generation will be the Josephs in the church that will arise into their destiny, and like Joseph delivered his generation from famine, we are destined to deliver our generation from gross darkness. Only Josephs will be able to do that, and every Christian is destined to be a Joseph. Not every Christian, sadly, will follow it through, but the plan has already been laid out. I have said many times and will continue to say, God does not predestinate individuals. That would be unfair, to be unjust. But he does predestinate events. In other words, God has laid out a plan. Now, individuals that submit themselves to that plan and fulfill the conditions of that plan will now become predestinated to enter every facet, every section of the plan. And that's how you can understand Scripture. And Scripture becomes, you know, all the mysteries and, you know, become clear. You look at something like Ruth from a background that is heathenistic, and you see her fulfilling destiny. Then you see somebody else like Rachel, who was born into destiny, not fulfill her destiny. Rachel, incidentally, was the mother of Joseph. She didn't fulfill her destiny. She died before time. You know why? She took the idols from her father's house and sat on it. I just use that as an example. There are many examples. Samson's another one. Samson was exactly like Jesus. In so many ways, his type, the typology of Samson, Samson should have outshone Joseph, should have outshone all these people. He was a Nazarene. An angel appeared to his mother before he was born, just like Gabriel appeared to Jesus. Sorry, to Mary. Samson had supernatural power that has not been matched hitherto. Incidentally, that's probably one of the other things we're going to see in the end time. Supernatural power. And you see Samson throw it away. He took his hands like this and threw away his destiny. May you not throw away your destiny. Instead of Samson to live and fulfill the fullness of his destiny, he died on the laps of Delilah. What a shame. He took his eyes out. Yes, he killed more Philistines in his death, but did he have to die that way? This Bible says these things are written for our learning. He was destined, he had a great destiny. He threw it away. So we're to learn from these examples. So Joseph is a type, and he's an example for all of us. And we have brought this out on Wednesday. I'll just repeat very briefly. You know, Joseph was sold into slavery. Then let's start from the slavery, not from his dad's house. Start from the slavery, and we get a pattern. He was taken out of slavery into Potiphar's house. That mirrors our born-again experience. Potiphar's house was nice. It was, he prospered there to some degree. But he couldn't fulfill his destiny in Potiphar's house. And by turning down the advances of the wife, he went to prison. The prison was more restricted than Potiphar's house. That typifies our experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because it was only in prison that he started getting extra revelation. He didn't get any new revelation when he was in Potiphar's house. All he had in Potiphar's house was the dream that he took from his dad's house, but nothing new. So the prison represents a place of extra revelation, but not full revelation. Then he goes from the prison with extra revelation to Pharaoh's presence. In Pharaoh's presence, he now gets what we might call the full revelation of his life purpose. He had seen it in general in his dad's house, but he did not know how it was going to come to pass until he stood before Pharaoh. When he stood before Pharaoh, Pharaoh now told him his dream. When Pharaoh told him his dream, he told Pharaoh, he said, God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And he interpreted the dream by the Holy Spirit. And it was in the interpretation of the dream that Joseph found the fulfillment of his destiny. That represents our tabernacle's experience. Every Christian has the experience of the new birth, the experience, or is destined to have, excuse me, the experience of the new birth, sold, taken out of slavery. We were all slaves under Satan, slaves of sin. You come to Potiphar's house. As usual, born again experience, you have it, you get blessed to a degree. And in that time, you get all kinds of temptations, all kinds of things that want to take you off. You stay with God, you move to the next experience, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is like the prison. It's a little bit much more restricted. This is also typified in the tabernacle of Moses. See, the outer courts has more space than the holy place. Then the holy place has more space than the most holy place. As you progress in God, you know, you are restricted to what you can use your will to do. Your will becomes more and more restricted to the will of God. And we see Joseph give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And it was that interpretation of that dream that now took Joseph to the throne, fulfilled his destiny, his brothers, the 7 years of plenty, the 7 years of famine, his brothers came, his dad came, he saved his whole generation. So we see a type, we see a pattern. Every Christian, you have three experiences. To me, it pains my heart when these things are not, they don't tell people. Born again is one stage. It's only stage one. And most people live and die there. How sad. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is stage two, where you begin speaking tongues. But the essence of stage two is to get revelation. It is the revelation you get in stage two that's going to take you to stage three. If you live and die in stage two and you only speak in tongues and do not use the tongues to get revelation, you will not move to stage three. In stage three, the tabernacles, which is the perfection of the fullness of Christ, the things we've been talking about in recent times, you know, physical miracles, intellectual miracles, political miracles, economic miracles, environmental miracles, the fullness of the scope of the power of God as revealed in the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. And under intellectual miracles, you have the incredible photographic memory, incredible language learning abilities, of which we receive a small portion when we speak in tongues. That's why it's an earnest. When you speak in tongues, begin to speak languages you never learned. Supernaturally. What's God doing? He just gave us a small taste. A small taste of what's coming. The earnest. And what he's trying to tell us is that if you stay with it, you will do more than speak in tongues. Incredible artistic ability, incredible musical ability, incredible mathematical ability. The world has never seen anything like that. And that will be the answer of peace to this generation. It would dispel this darkness that we are currently in, that apparently is not, but it's apparently seems, looks as if it's going to destroy our generation. I shared with them on Wednesday that the problems the world is facing now, this terrorism and all these things, is not a problem you can solve by bullets and guns. Because it's spiritual. It's in the heart of men. It's only spiritual weapons. Pulling down strongholds. Casting down imaginations. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Only the spiritual can conquer what we are facing. As at today, as I stand on this pulpit, by the mercy and the grace of God, only the man who knows how to walk with God can walk out confidently now. Nobody is sure of anything. They just raised the alert in Belgium to the highest alert. They had to cancel two football matches in France. The ones they played in England yesterday, everybody was just looking. Thank God nothing happened. Thank you, Pastor G. Thank God, God's still saving the Queen. Amen. Thank God. You know, that channel has always kept England. And when Margaret Thatcher was insisting, they didn't understand that we will not change the pound to the euro. Britain refused. We're in the EU, but we are not going to change our currency. We still have the Queen on the currency.
So God will still save the queen.
Yeah, we won't change our currency. We'll be with you, you know. And you know, you can drive from Belgium to Italy, all on the, you know, European continent. But to come to England, you have to go across the channel. So there's a restriction. The same thing in World War II. It was easy for Germany to march through all the countries. But when it came to England, they had the channel to cross. And so they had to fight the Battle of Britain. And God showed up. Give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. God will always show up. But what are we saying? You're in a plane now. You don't know if some crazy guys put a bomb in the hold. Can you imagine? Put a bomb on a plane. So they say, well, didn't they search the luggage? Yeah, they may have searched the luggage, but what if one of the people who are handling the luggage is one of them? Which is the likely thing that happened in Sharm el-Sheikh? Because it happened in Egypt. And there are people are there. So it could have been one of the employees who is putting the luggage inside the plane. They're just sleeping. How will they find out? Except God shows you. Pastor, I'm afraid. Don't be. You're living in the secret place of the Most High, aren't you? A rhetorical question. Don't be. God will protect you. God will protect his own. But it shows us the urgency of the moment. We've moved beyond. We're moving with crazy. You see, a man who wants to die is not a man you can fight. Armed robbers want to live to enjoy the money they stole. So do corrupt people. We can handle that. But the man who wants to die, how do you fight him? Except God shows you his heart. Thank God for the FBI. Thank God for CIA. Thank God for MI5. Thank God for all the security, and we pray for them all the time. And they're working 24/7. They're doing a great job. Give them a clap offering. Hallelujah. Thank God. They're doing a great job. But they're only human. For every 10,000 you check, you might get, and then just one escapes. How do you handle it? So the church, the answer is with us. The Bible says, in the days of Elisha, he said, the king of Syria said, there is somebody amongst us who is telling, he said, what you are seeing in your bedroom. There is a prophet in Samaria, is decoding everything. That level of spiritual, supernatural operation must return. And put the men to be in fear. Like the Bible says. Hence, the Josephs must arise. When we concluded on Wednesday, we said that the way you will, how will you know a Joseph and follow a Joseph? Which is now the message I want to expatiate on. And I've called it, I actually preached this about 7 years ago. But I'm going to preach it again today with more light. I went to go and check the weekly Rhema. I actually preached it in 2008. I didn't realize it's almost, it's just slightly over a year. 7 years, excuse me. You know, how interesting. The fruit of good treasure. This is so important. Now, let's go to the scripture in Luke chapter 6. Verses 43 to 45. Luke chapter 6, verses 43 to 45. For a good tree, I didn't hear you. How should I and on Adonai, age to age, you're still the same. by the power of your name. How should I Ekamkana Adonai. We now praise and lift you high. El Shaddai, the God who truly is more than enough. The heavens declare your glory. The earth is full of your handiworks. We see them, for the invisible things that you have made are clearly seen, being understood by all that you have made, even your eternal power and Godhead. We honor you. We enter your word with a reverence that it so eminently deserves. We humble ourselves under your mighty hand, fully aware of the limitations of our minds, to deliver as well as to receive the infinite wisdom that has been compressed into this written word. So we need your help. We ask for it, for fresh unction and anointing, firstly upon my heart and my lips, indeed that I may speak as I should as an oracle of God, that the word will have free course, my Father, from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds more enlightened with revelation knowledge, and our emotions to be more controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray that as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in more than sufficient measure to follow these words wherever they are heard in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men, so that they will be doers of these things which they hear and not hearers only. We also pray for mercy to be faithful as I deliver the word, that I might do it with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say, bringing out the treasure of this word, things new and old, indeed as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all those in agreement with that prayer, receiving the blessing in their individual life, agreed and said, today I have a very important message. It's actually a follow-up of Pastor Dewey's message on Wednesday. I actually said quite a number of things that I'm going to repeat here on Wednesday, and I believe the Lord nudged me and said this, I should share it here on Sunday to the whole house. Pastor Dewey preached a very lovely message for us on Wednesday, Joseph, the answer of peace. It's a prophetic message. The answer of peace to this generation will be the Josephs in the church that will arise into their destiny. And like Joseph delivered his generation from famine, we are destined to deliver our generation from gross darkness. Only Josephs will be able to do that. And every Christian is destined to be a Joseph. Not every Christian, sadly, will follow it through, but the plan has already been laid out. I have said many times and will continue to say, God does not predestinate individuals. That would be unfair, to be unjust. But he does predestinate events. In other words, God has laid out a plan. Now, individuals that submit themselves to that plan and fulfill the conditions of that plan will now become predestinated to enter every facet, every section of the plan. And that's how you can understand Scripture. And Scripture becomes, you know, all the mysteries and, you know, become clear. You look at something like Ruth,
from a background that is heathenistic, and you see her fulfilling destiny, then you see somebody else like Rachel, who was born into destiny, not fulfill her destiny. Rachel, incidentally, was the mother of Joseph. She didn't fulfill her destiny. She died before time. You know why? She took the idols from her father's house and sat on it. I just use that as an example. There are many examples. Samson's another one. Samson was exactly like Jesus. In so many ways, his type, the typology of Samson, Samson should have outshone Joseph, should have outshone all these people. He was a Nazarene. An angel appeared to his mother before he was born, just like Gabriel appeared to Jesus. Sorry, to Mary. Samson had supernatural power that has not been matched hitherto. Incidentally, that's probably one of the other things we're going to see in the end time. Supernatural power. And you see Samson throw it away. He took his hands like this and threw away his destiny. May you not throw away your destiny. Instead of Samson to live and fulfill the fullness of his destiny, he died on the laps of Delilah. What a shame. He took his eyes out. Yes, he killed more Philistines in his death, but did he have to die that way? This Bible says these things are written for our learning. He was destined, he had a great destiny. He threw it away. So we're to learn from these examples. So Joseph is a type, and he's an example for all of us. And we have brought this out on Wednesday. I'll just repeat very briefly. You know, Joseph was sold into slavery. Then let's start from the slavery, not from his dad's house. Start from the slavery, and we get a pattern. He was taken out of slavery into Potiphar's house. That mirrors our born-again experience. Potiphar's house was nice. It was, he prospered there to some degree. But he couldn't fulfill his destiny in Potiphar's house. And by turning down the advances of the wife, he went to prison. The prison was more restricted than Potiphar's house. That typifies our experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because it was only in prison that he started getting extra revelation. He didn't get any new revelation when he was in Potiphar's house. All he had in Potiphar's house was the dream that he took from his dad's house, but nothing new. So Potiphar's house, sorry, the prison represents a place of extra revelation, but not full revelation. Then he goes from the prison with extra revelation to Pharaoh's presence. In Pharaoh's presence, he now gets what we might call the full revelation of his life purpose. He had seen it in general in his dad's house, but he did not know how it was going to come to pass until he stood before Pharaoh. When he stood before Pharaoh, Pharaoh now told him his dream. When Pharaoh told him his dream, he told Pharaoh, he said, God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And he interpreted the dream by the Holy Spirit. And it was in the interpretation of the dream that Joseph found the fulfillment of his destiny. That represents our tabernacle's experience. Every Christian has the experience of the new birth, the experience, or is destined to have, excuse me, the experience of the new birth, sold, taken out of slavery. We were all slaves under Satan, slaves of sin. You come to Potiphar's house. As usual, born again experience, you have it. You get blessed to a degree. And it's in that time you get all kinds of temptations, all kinds of things that want to take you off. You stay with God, you move to the next experience, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is like the prison. It's a bit much more restricted. This is also typified in the tabernacle of Moses. See, the outer court has more space than the holy place. Then the holy place has more space than the most holy place. As you progress in God, you know, you are restricted to what you can use your will to do. Your will becomes more and more restricted to the will of God. And we see Joseph give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And it was that interpretation of that dream that now took Joseph to the throne, fulfilled his destiny, his brothers, the 7 years of plenty, the 7 years of famine, his brothers came, his dad came, he saved his whole generation. So we see a type, we see a pattern. Every Christian, you have three experiences. To me, it pains my heart when these things are not, they don't tell people. Born again is one stage. It's only stage one. And most people live and die there. How sad. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is stage two, where you begin speaking tongues. But the essence of stage two is to get revelation. It is the revelation you get in stage two that's going to take you to stage three. If you live and die in stage two and you only speak in tongues and do not use the tongues to get revelation, you will not move to stage three. In stage three, the tabernacles, which is the perfection of the fullness of Christ, the things we've been talking about in recent times, you know, physical miracles, intellectual miracles, political miracles, economic miracles, environmental miracles, the fullness of the scope of the power of God as revealed in the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. And under intellectual miracles, you have the incredible photographic memory, incredible language learning abilities, of which we receive a small portion when we speak in tongues. That's why it's an earnest. When you speak in tongues, begin to speak languages you never learned. Supernaturally. What's God doing? He just gave us a small taste. A small taste of what's coming. The earnest. And what he's trying to tell us is that if you stay with it, you will do more than speak in tongues. Incredible artistic ability, incredible musical ability, incredible mathematical ability. The world has never seen anything like that. And that will be the answer of peace to this generation. It would dispel this darkness that we are currently in, that apparently is not, but it's apparently seems, looks as if it's going to destroy our generation. I shared with them on Wednesday that the problems the world is facing now, this terrorism and all these things, is not a problem you can solve by bullets and guns. Because it's spiritual. It's in the heart of men. It's only spiritual weapons. Pulling down strongholds. Casting down imaginations. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Only the spiritual can conquer what we are facing. As at today, as I stand on this pulpit, by the mercy and the grace of God, only the man who knows how to walk with God can walk out confidently now. Nobody is sure of anything. They just raised the alert in Belgium to the highest alert. They had to cancel two football matches in France. The ones they played in England yesterday, everybody was just looking. Thank God nothing happened. Thank you, Pastor G. Thank God, God's still saving the Queen. Amen. Thank God. You know, that channel has always kept England. And when Margaret Thatcher was insisting, did he understand that we will not change the pound to the euro? Britain refused. We're in the EU, but we are not going to change our currency. We still have the Queen on the currency. So God will still save the Queen. We won't change our currency. We'll be with you, you know. And you know, you can drive
from Belgium to Italy, all over the, you know, European continent. But to come to England, you have to go across the Channel. So there's a restriction. The same thing in World War II. It was easy for Germany to march through all the countries. But when it came to England, they had the Channel to cross. And so they had to fight the Battle of Britain. And God showed up. Give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. God will always show up. But what are we saying? You're in a plane now. You don't know if some crazy guys put a bomb in the hold. Can you imagine? Put a bomb on a plane. So they say, well, didn't they search the luggage? Yeah, they may have searched the luggage, but what if one of the people who are handling the luggage is one of them? Which is the likely thing that happened in Sharm el-Sheikh? Because it happened in Egypt. And there are people are there. So it could have been one of the employees who is putting the luggage inside the plane. They're just sleeping. How will they find out? Except God shows you. Pastor, I'm afraid. Don't be. You're living in the secret place of the Most High, aren't you? A rhetorical question. Don't be. God will protect you. God will protect His own. But it shows us the urgency of the moment. We've moved beyond. We're moving with crazy. You see, a man who wants to die is not a man you can fight. Armed robbers want to live to enjoy the money they stole. So do corrupt people. We can handle that. But the man who wants to die, how do you fight him? Except God shows you his heart. Thank God for the FBI. Thank God for CIA. Thank God for MI5. Thank God for all the security, and we pray for them all the time. And they're working 24/7. They're doing a great job. Give them a clap offering. Hallelujah. Thank God. They're doing a great job. But they're only human. For every 10,000 you check, their hearts. The hearts of who? The hearts of the Colossians. Our hearts. The hearts of Christians. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in what?
Love.
Everybody scream that word.
Love.
Say it again.
Love.
Say it again.
Love.
Say it again.
Love.
Their hearts being knit together in what?
Love.
And unto all. Look at the link. Love is what links you to the treasures. Unto all the riches of the assurance of what? Understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery. Revelation.
Yes, sir.
If the heart is not knit in love, you won't see it. I have wondered for years, Brother Damson, for years, how come you read the same Bible? It's amazing, you know, and they can't see it. They hear you preach it. They can't see it. It's the heart. It's the heart. Because only God who shows it. If God doesn't show you, you won't see it. You can hear it. He says that seeing, they may see and not see. Hearing, they may hear and not understand. They see it. They hear it. But they can't see it. They see, but they can't see. They hear, but they can't hear. Let me use a natural illustration. It's not, I don't know if it's a very good illustration, but it's popped to my heart, so I just say it. You know, you can hear somebody speaking French. You hear the words, but you don't understand. If you don't know the language in your heart, do you understand? You will hear every word the man said distinctly. You will hear it.
But hearing it is not the same as understanding what he's talking about. If French has not been programmed into your heart. Isn't that correct? Spiritually, in a sense, it's the same thing. You can't hear everything I'm saying. But if your heart and my heart are not on the same frequency, you will hear my words, but you will not understand what I'm saying. So, he says, unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. This is the whole of Christianity summed up in one, in one verse. Mystery, which is in you, in the eternal place, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Perfection, everything is inside. Look at the next verse. Verse 3. In whom are hid, that's where we get the word treasure from, all the what? Treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So when the Bible says a good man out of the good treasure, what is that good treasure? That good treasure is the good treasure of wisdom and understanding of all the mystery. But look at the link. That heart must be established in love. So if the man is saying it, it means that love must have been established in the heart. And love is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long term. Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's just like white light, and then it has many components: red, orange, green, blue, indigo, violet. You know, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Then it has joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance, patience. They are all components of the love of God. And the Apostle Paul brings this out beautifully in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient and kind. Love endures long. All the fruit of the Spirit are inside 4 to 8. 13, 4 to 8. They're not called that explicitly, but if you do the analysis, you see patience there, you see joy there, you see long suffering, you see gentleness, you see goodness, you see faithfulness. It's all there. So to get the fruit, by the time the fruit of good treasure is coming out of the abundance of the man's heart on a consistent basis. You see, a man may get an occasional word of wisdom. He may get an occasional word of knowledge, but he can't make it consistent. When you see the fruit of good treasure coming out on a consistent basis, it says two things about that heart. One, its root is knit in love. We've seen that. The second one is that it's humble. Look at Proverbs chapter 11, verse 2. That's why Jesus now put this as the acid litmus test. He said, this is how you're going to know them. He says, a good man out of the good treasure will bring forth that which is good. And a corrupt man will bring forth that which is corrupt. He says, for the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Look at Proverbs 11, verse 2. He says, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is what? I didn't hear you. Is what? In other words, without being lowly in heart, you can't get the wisdom of God. I have wondered for years. It's clearer to me now. You know, I've been a Christian for, as you all know, well over 35 years. I got born again in 79. I got born again in 79. You know, that's 36 years now. You know, and I've been around a bit to the glory of God. You know, it is amazing to me the widespread lack of knowledge, lack of revelation that is inside church. I can't understand it. Now I do better. It's the heart. It's simple. That's why they're not, you know, it's the heart. It's not something you can look at. Paul was not even there when Jesus was alive. He was a pattern disciple. He said, you have me for a pattern. Baba Paul. You know, look at Paul. That's a man to follow. He said, follow me as I follow Christ.
There were apostles before him. And he acknowledged them. And I, you know, appreciate them. He said, when I went to Jerusalem, you know, he said, they added nothing to me in conference. He said, when they saw that the gospel of the circumcision was committed unto me, as one of the circumcision was committed unto Peter, they gave unto me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship. He said, and when James and John, who seemed to be pillars, he said, it maketh no matter to me. For God accepted no man's person. There was a big power struggle in Jerusalem. Who will be number one? The arrogance and all that kind of thing. Paul was not a part of that. Because he didn't get born again under them. God did it deliberately. Separated Paul. You know, so when he now came back later after many years, they had to recognize and appreciate the anointing that was on him. And when Peter came to Antioch and began to misbehave, Paul, honesty of heart. You can see why God used that man. The Bible says, when I saw that they walked not according to the truth of the gospel, that's why you can see the degree of revelation Paul had and the degree of revelation Peter had. Now, thank God Peter changed and got more revelation later on. But you can see Paul, you know, he said, we stood him to the face. He said that if you, being a Jew, you're living like the Jews, say, well, you want the Gentiles now to live like the Jews. And all start, you know, doing circumcision and doing all of these things and going for Feast of Tabernacles and all the ceremonial observances. Because that's where that thing is going to. Imagine, they're all brethren. When they came back, they won't eat with the Gentiles. Because under the Old Testament, you're not supposed to eat with Gentiles. But these are not Gentiles. They're not born again brethren. Paul was so mad, he said even Barnabas was carried away with their dissimulation, excuse me. And look at what happened to Barnabas later on. You can see the heart. That's why this test is a sure test. Looking at the heart. This is, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. You can't fake it. So two characteristics. They are intrinsic. But the thing you see, you can't see a man's heart. But when you see what is coming out, you can discern what is inside the heart. Because without the love and the humility, it won't come out. That was why they were always astounded when Jesus taught. They were astonished at his doctrine. Fruit of good treasure. I brought this out on Wednesday, and I'm going to use it now. Do you notice that Pharaoh had never met Joseph in his life? Listen. He had never met Joseph. You know who Joseph was? It was the butler who said, I remember there was a Hebrew boy. He interpreted my dream. Go and call him. They called him. Joseph now came. He didn't have any way of verifying whether what Joseph said was true or not, except what came out of his mouth. By the abundance of what came out of Joseph's mouth, Pharaoh was ready to gamble his whole kingdom. He didn't know who Joseph was. He didn't know whether Joseph would prove true or not. But he knew by the Spirit. He knew because this is the test. For he says, from whence shall we find such a man? He said, if God has shown this to you, it must mean you must have the fruit of love. You must have the fruit of humility. And you must have the fruit of honesty. And I can trust you with my kingdom. Nothing had happened. The 7 years of plenty hadn't come. The 7 years of famine hadn't come. And he made him number two. That very day. He didn't wait. Peter didn't say, okay, put him somewhere. After 7 years, we will know whether he's telling the truth or not.
No. There is something about truth. When you hear it, it resonates. Hallelujah. With the witness of God in the conscience of every man. That's why Paul says we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor hanging the word of God deceitfully, but by manifesting. What manifesting? Manifesting of the word I speak. But by manifesting of the truth, we present ourselves in the conscience of every man. Yes, the word. Commending ourselves to every man's conscience, manifestation of the truth. How do you manifest the truth? Say it. When you say it, it will resonate. You know, there are some things you hear. Once you hear, you know it's true. You don't need any proof. Your conscience will just say yes. Hallelujah. That's why this is the acid test. You want to know it, Joseph? Just listen to him. Don't listen to him once. Listen to him a few times. You know, I always do this to the glory of God over the years, and I still do it. I give them the benefit of the doubt. You know, I hear this guy, you know, I did this recently. I'm not going to mention names. I haven't heard some people for some time. I say maybe they have changed. Yes, because people can change. It's true. And God is merciful. Do you understand? So, let me hear again. First, sadly, I was disappointed. I just need to, just listen. Listen to one, two messages. You will know. You will know. You will know. That's as of the abundance of the heart. You can't fake it. Because the conditions, the preconditions of the heart are love and humility. If those things are not there, it won't come out. I have listened to many so-called men of God. Don't let me say so-called men of God. Over the years, there are very few I decided to follow. I listened to William Branham. I listened to some of the guys from the past, you know, where I've read their books. It didn't resonate. As a young Christian, it just didn't resonate. It wasn't in line with the word. Or they would take one part of the word, they would leave another part. Dishonesty is the one I hate the most. You know, omitting the weightier matters of the law. I said, I'm not going to follow this one. I won't follow them. I like Paul. We deliver unto the whole counsel of God. Balanced message. I can never forget. I'm getting ahead of myself. But let me. I'm almost there. Praise God. You know. I'll come to false gifts in a moment. Let me just tell you a few true ones and then I'll close. You know. I can never forget as a young Christian. I got born again, then I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. At this time, I didn't know Kenneth Hagin. I never heard of Kenneth Hagin. Well, that's not true. I had heard, but I hadn't listened to him much. And I hadn't, you know, gotten any of his books at that those early stages. But I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, listening to people who had heard Kenneth Hagin. You know, and in my church, I was going to Assemblies of God. So I got the Holy Ghost. And so I started speaking in tongues. As I began to pray in tongues and all that, so people started bringing Kenneth Hagin's tapes, my friends and people, you know, and some of his books. I ate it up like, wow, wow, wow. At the same time, God is a great God who simultaneously, unbeknown to me, I mean, I didn't know who Kenneth Hagin was. I didn't know who Kenneth Cooper was. I didn't know anybody. I was a young Christian. I didn't know who was who. You know, I went somewhere and I picked up a book by E.W. Kenyon. At that time, I did not know there was going to be a link between them. I said, wow. Two kinds of knowledge. Two kinds of life. The blood covenant. You know, all great messages. I
ate them up. So it was later on that Ken Hagin's, I began to listen to more and more of Kenneth Hagin, and as I listened, it was in perfect agreement with what I was getting from E.W. Kenyon. I said, wow! You know, as I prayed more, Young Echo came. Young Echo and Kenneth Hagin, as far as I know, didn't have any connection. I think maybe later they must have, you know. But at that time, I read Young Echo's book on the fourth dimension. He preached faith exactly like Kenneth Hagin. I said, wow! And again, balanced. Young Echo preached prosperity. He preached, but he balanced it. Not this one, you know, the weightier matters of the law, they will ignore it. I heard some other people, I'm not going to mention their name because I don't want people to think I'm running them down. Other big men of God, you know, that came there, I couldn't resonate with them. This same truth of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Let me just do this. I'm giving honor to whom honor is due here. You know, I actually wrote it down. Remember, the Holy Ghost said, write it down, write it down. So I wrote it down. These are the men that have influenced me in my life, you know, that I have followed. You know, there are many of them, but I'll just try and do a brief summary. You know, you go and check. And I want you to go and do what I've asked you to do. Go and check. Go and check their teachings. It's all on the internet now. Most of these things you can buy them. E.W. Kenyon, John G. Lake, F.F. Bosworth, Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, Yonggi Cho, Derek Prince, George Warnock, Bill Britton, Kelly Verner, and of course yours truly, Ralph Martin. Hallelujah. These are men that I followed to quite a great degree. You know, there was one thing that resonated. So of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And go and check these guys. I shared a little bit of this on Wednesday. You know, love, humility. You know, Papa Ralph, eh? I remember when we used to bring Papa Ralph to Nigeria. When we were in that house, Papa Ralph would stay in one small room. Papa Ralph won't disturb. If it was Nigerian preachers, they'll tell you they can't stay there. Yes! Then you go and get 5-star hotel for them. They will give, they will insist on the amount of money you are going to give them. This is a white man from America. He will answer, OJ, whatever. Sometimes Papa Ralph would take his own money and pay for his ticket when we could not afford it. He will not collect a kobo from us. Give the Lord a clap offering. It is that level of humility and that level of love that opens that level of revelation. You can't, and all the people who knew these men, I'm sure I've told you this story before, but it bears repetition here. First, I met Kenneth Hagin twice. The first time I met Kenneth Hagin, I was a young boy, I was 21 years old. I came from England to America for the camp meeting. So, during the camp meeting, I wanted one of the Bibles. There was this Kenneth Hagin Bible in those days. Adams will remember. You know, it had all the faith teachings and all of that. Very nice, in leather, wound and all the, you know. And I went to Kenneth Hagin's office. Yeah, I did. Like, we go to church office. And they asked me who I was. I told them who I was. I said, I came from England. I'm a Nigerian, you know, student. And I just, you know, and I just wanted to meet Kenneth Hagin and get the book. They said, wait. I sat down. J.K. Hagin came out. Kenneth Hagin far. Say, young man, nice to meet you.
You come a long ways. I hope you're enjoying yourself. Okay, give me one of the Bibles. Okay, God bless you. Bim. The second time, I think it was a year after, I went to Rhema Bible Church. It was just about 300 people. It wasn't big. Just like this. And sat down like this. Just like how we sit here. Like me and mommy. Kegan sat down. His wife sat down like this, and the brethren. So after the service, I just got up. You know, I said, let me go and greet Ken Hagen. I just went up. Nobody stopped me. Oh, God. Oh. At this time, Ken Hagen's ministry was at the top of the whole world. This was when the Kehinge Ministries was all over the world. He was a multi-millionaire in every currency you can think of. Somebody gave Kehinge a Rolls Royce. He returned it. No, he didn't return. He sold it. He said they should go and pack it. He said, what does he want to do with the Rolls Royce? He said he could have it. He said, but it's too expensive to maintain. And they have a lot of things that they want to do in the ministry. He said, he's going to sell it. Is that level of humility? Of all the preachers that were in America in the 1950s, why was it Kenneth Hagin Jesus appeared to? And he appeared to a lot of other people too, but he didn't teach any of them. All of Kenneth Hagin's visions of Jesus were visions of teaching. He wasn't just, you know, most people just see Jesus, just see him for 2 seconds, then he just lay hands on you, then you get healed. Ooh, then Jesus disappears. Yeah, I've seen Jesus. Thank God for that. I don't take it from you. Amen. But this is different. He will appear, he will teach him about demons and prayer and faith. He taught him you can have what you say using David and Goliath. He said, my power is everywhere. He said, you say with your mouth. He said, and that's what David did. Ken Hagin said, I've read the story of David over 10 times or 100 times, whatever. Ken Hagin said, Jesus just laughed. You know, Jesus had a nice sense of humor. He just smiled and said, there's a lot in there, son, you don't know. Now we are opening the scriptures. I now appreciate what Jesus was saying. Now I have types and shadows. He said, there's a lot in there. He said, and David said, when he went to Saul, and he counted the number of times David said that he was going to kill Goliath, before he ever killed Goliath. He killed Goliath with his mouth. Where did we get all that from? Jesus talking to Hagin. And you know what? The good thing, Hagin didn't sit on it. He shared it with his generation. Give him a clap offering. Younger Church is one of the richest men in the world. Biggest church. Yet he's one of the most simple. I don't know him one-on-one. But you know you can tell. That's the thing about this heart thing. You can tell. You see the way the man, he would tell you jokes. He was speaking. He said, you are very, very fascinated with my broken English. I speak Korean English. Everyone just start laughing. You know, such a nice man. Simple, rich, but lives a very simple lifestyle. I don't think there will be any of the pastors in Nigeria that can have the church that Young Icho has. He uses a made in Korea, a nice car, but he doesn't use anything. Young Icho, the last I heard, I don't know where he lives now, you know, was living in a flat. His children are grown up. It was a big flat, of course, nice, you know, maybe 10, 5 rooms, you know, very nice and all of that, nice, you know, expensive. But he didn't go to the mansion. He could afford it. I heard Young Icho say this. He had to sink or to swim. I've never forgotten it. You know, is it to sink or to swim? He said, I take about 70% of the offering and put in missions. He said, because the heart of God is missions.
The Holy Spirit is moving spirit. Always on the move. This Olivia Johnson you are seeing here today is the combination of all these anointings. George Warner, Bill Britton, you know, Kelly Verner. If Kelly Verner has come here, you know, before he went home to be with the Lord. You know, Ralph Martin. Ralph Martin actually learned from all these guys. You know. Pi Elton, thank you for reminding me. S.G. Elton, great man of God. Great, very humble. Very, that love and that humility. Can see Pi Elton. Everybody in Nigeria used to go and see Pi Elton. Idaosa, Kumuyi, Pastor Adeboye, everybody will go to Elisha and Pa will tell you the truth. Then they won't come back. S.G. Elton. Oh yes. A prophet and an apostle to Nigeria. He will wrestle. When it was Pi Elton I first heard Ziklag from. Kilwinje Ziklag. It was an IVCU here. Just one afternoon, I just went. I was sitting outside. You know, Pa started preaching, so I just stayed outside. I said, he said, David at Ziklag. He said, I don't know what that means, but it means something. Go and check it. David had three anointings. I'm trying to simulate his voice, but I may not succeed very well. He said he was anointed in his father's house. He was anointed at Hebron. And then he was anointed king over the whole of Israel. He said, every Christian has three anointings. You've only got the first one. It resonates. That's what made young men like me go and pick up our Bible. And say, yes, we want to find out. You know, most Christians have only got the first anointing. Yes, baptism of the Holy Ghost. That was the first anointing. The second one is the borrowed anointing. Then the third one is the full one. Majority Christians live and die in the first anointing. They never move on to the second anointing. Just like majority live and die in Potiphar's house. Or they live and die in the prison. And never get to the throne. I got to close. Am I helping anybody here? The fruit of good treasure. Now, it will help you to locate a corrupted gift. Look at Proverbs 25, verse 14. By the grace of God, I should begin to close with that. Am I helping anybody here? I shared this on Wednesday. Whoso boasteth himself, I didn't hear you, of a false gift, you could also use the word corrupted gift, is like clouds and wind without what? You know, what does wind represent? Power. What does cloud represent? Manifestation. But if somebody has cloud and he has wind but has no rain, will there be fruit? The rain there is symbolic of the teaching of the Word of God. Deuteronomy chapter 32 verse 2 says, let my doctrine, my teaching, let it drop and distill as the rain. So if you see wind and you see cloud, but rain does not come out, it's a corrupted gift too. Amen. According to the scripture. And Jesus himself corroborates this. You know what he said? He said, in that day, many will say, I have cast out devils. In thy name we have done many marvelous wind and rain. But he will say to them, he said, I know you not, for you are workers of iniquity. So when you see the wind and you see the rain, and you see the cloud, wait for the rain. If there is no rain, it's corrupted. Amen.
is so common today. Selah. If you see the wind, miracles, healing, power, brrr, and you see the cloud, manifestation, this happened some years ago. You know, I it's popped into my heart. I won't mention names, but this actually happened. It's a true story. I have a friend who used to go somewhere, you know. So one day he came back and he said to me, ha! He said, oh, Jay, I saw something today. I said, what did you see? And they mentioned so-and-so person. Ah! He said, this person has become, hey, he must be a great something in the kingdom and all of that. He said, they did something today. They put white, it's not like if you come to this church now, you know, and then this pulpit section, you know, I put a white ribbon here. I put a white ribbon to that pillar, and I put another white ribbon to that pillar. And I say, anybody who goes through that white ribbon, we get a great miracle. And people start going and they start getting a miracle. So my friend now came back to me and said, ha! He said, OJ. He said, ah! He said, this person, blah, 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 blah. Then he asked me a question. He said, is it God? So I asked my man, I said, it was you who went. I said, it was you who was there. You will know whether it's God or not. Then I asked him this question I'm asking you. I said, what did they say? Where's the rain? No rain. So I told him, I said, that's how you know. I got to close. Now, finally, look at this. When Jesus was teaching about the kingdom, he gave us a principle. And this is the principle that follows the real. Correction, the genuine. The false is real, it's just that it's not genuine. Satan does miracles, and his miracles are real. The Bible says so. He said, by the power of Satan, with great miracles and lying wonders. Remember, they are wonders, they are miracles. Remember that, you know, Jannes and Jambres turned their stick into snake. Try it. Then you will know that it's real power, but it's not from God. You have to understand that. Everything supernatural is not necessarily God. The devil also can counterfeit the supernatural. Is this clear? So many stupid, God forgive me, so many careless Christians, naive, gullible. Once the thing shouts and it shakes, and it shines. I said, this is the great power of God. No. Wait to hear what it has to say. That's how you will know. And no matter the wind, no matter the cloud, wait to hear what they will say. Then you will locate it. Are you listening to me? You know? So, let me grab my thought back. Yes. Okay. So, right. Jesus gives us a principle. He said that the kingdom of God does not come with observation. He said, they won't say, go here and go there. He said, for the kingdom of God is within. The genuine always starts on the inside. That's why it's of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. It is when the kingdom has come within and has been expressed to the mouth, then it is confirmed with signs and wonders following. That is God's order. Is this clear? That's why you will find Jesus, you know, when he goes somewhere, he will preach, he will teach, then he said, and then he healed those that had need of healing. The word, the signs always follow the word. Are you listening to me? He says, and the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. You see the pattern. Look at Jesus at the baptism of John. The kingdom had come. Heavens was open. The Spirit of God came. But no miracle. Hello? Very interesting. Those boys, that's all they heard, the word. They just heard, behold the Lamb of God, and they followed him. No miracle. Miracle did not happen on the Cana of Galilee some days later. The same thing on the day of Easter Sunday. Just appears to them and says, receive the Holy Ghost. The king, without observation. Phew. Then, 50 days later, the glory came. Is there a place for wind? Yes. Is there a place for power? Yes. But it must follow the word. Let us pray. Talk to God. The fruit of good treasure. The fruit of good treasure. In your presence
we are content.
Revelation.
one hand on your heart. Put the other one on your eyes. One on the heart. We did this on Wednesday. I'm going to repeat that ministration. And the other one on your eyes. The eyes of our understanding need to be flooded with light. But it comes from the heart. The key is the heart. And it's that honesty, it's that humility, it's that love at the heart level. It's the gate to the whole thing. That's why Jesus said, that's how you will know them. The abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If I were to tell you the most important thing in your Christian life, it would be this. Keep your heart with all diligence. What does that mean? Keep it honest and keep it humble and keep it in love. That's the most important thing in your Christian. The way you keep it is by the word, the blood, the word, and the spirit. Keep your heart, the most important thing. Don't let it stray. Don't get into dishonesty. Don't get into pride. Don't get into strife, unforgiveness. All these things, they choke the heart. And you need to check yourself daily, weekly, monthly. That's why we take communion. And where is this heart going? And be honest enough to yourself. Look at David. When the guy was sitting in the house, when another went to go and fight, the heart had already strayed. So he was just game to be set up by Lucifer, and he set him up and finished him. Practically, I mean, he didn't finish him, but you know, he was the heart. If he had been checking his heart, he would have known that I'm not where I'm supposed to be. Even if I'm feeling tired, I'll still go to the battle with them. At least I'll stay in my tent. You know, while the Joab and others go and fight, you know, and then I'll load up on the word. That's what he should have done. When they brought the glory, the same thing. He didn't go and check the Bible to find out how they should carry the ark. And a man lost his life. There's a lot on David's hands. Where the Bible says, and Satan stood up against him and made him number the people. 7,000 died. I understand when God was telling him, he said, you can't build a temple. It's too much blood on your hands. All to do with the heart. One in the heart, one on the eye. One in the heart, one on the eye. It's symbolic, but it's significant. Say, Father, I confess our sins. And so we clean with the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name we have life. Oh God, have mercy on me. I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me of the fact that the way I will know end time Josephs, men and women that I can follow, is by the fruit of good treasure that comes out of the abundance of their hearts through their mouths. I thank you that this word, your word, not the letter of it, but the revelation of it, the spirit of the word, the truth of the word, is the acid test of those that walk with you. Because your Bible tells me that if they speak not according to this word, it's because there is no light in them. Oh God, oh God, oh God, help my heart, help my heart. Help me to keep an honest, a humble, and a heart of a humble heart, and a heart rooted and grounded in your love, so that my heart will always be open to receive mercy, grace in great measure, and therefore life, light, wisdom, revelation, knowledge, the riches of the good treasure of your word, in Jesus' name. Nekatalamasha, likatofriningi tofres, likatolomashaki tofrenes, lipriki tofreninga tosk, zefriki klomatala, lipriki tofreningashka, zefri lopriki tolomasha, tolomotolomotofreshingar, talamatangito, venes. Lopriya Zofriketoshke Fre Likatala Mashangi Zefrikito Limbrakatala Matongito Zefrene Latitushka Fredeska. Lomberka Matulomastulomastuka. Lomberki Tufre. Tolomatufri Dufrishe. Tolomatufri Dufrishe. Talamashangara. Tolomatufri Dufrishe. Tolomastufrishe. Tolomatufri Dufrishe. Lomberkiata. Lomberka Tulushka. Tolomanka Tolomatufri Dufrishe. Lomberka Mashu. Lomberka Tura Sufri. Tolomangik Tufre Zofre. Lomberki Tusko. Ria! Shiki Tufrenes. Tufrenes. Zofridias, Zofridingas, Talamashots, Zifridilimis, Zofridingaras, Zukitufrinis, Ningaras, Gilipras, Tofrinias, Zikitufrinis, Zukurambras, Zofridilis, Zofriningaras, Zofridis, Nikataras, Zikitufrinis, Talamangaras, Tufrinis. Zufridilis,
in Jesus' name.